You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The gifts of God can be misused. They can also be used.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, giver of every good gift, empower us with faith in your great Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, that we may enjoy the good things of earth without fear and with joy in your salvation. We pray in the name of Jesus, your Son, who died to give us life. Amen. Thou dost cause grass to grow for the cattle, said the psalmist, and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. What we see in the earth is the gift of God to man. In a way, this makes man the center of things. Everything is for him. Actually, God is the center of things. He is the giver, and everything is his gift. The gifts of God include everything, from food and clothing to good health, good government, honor, friends, family, recreation, and even the liquids people have to drink. It also includes some special things like drugs and even alcohol. Problems are created by the misuse of drugs, in the misuse of wine, and in the misuse of other gifts God gives. What we see in the world today is the natural resources given by God misused by people. The result is pollution, ruination, and even destruction of life. Sexuality, a good gift of God, is misused, and the result is broken marriages with broken people, unable to sustain the commitment of a lasting relationship and ending up lonely and isolated. We see drugs, substances that can be used in the hands of competent physicians to save lives, misused by people who end up dislocated from society and even from reality itself. One of the most misused drugs of all is alcohol. It's one of God's gifts to men. Like anything else God gives, it can be misused, and it often is. There are probably more pain and tragedy in the world today because of the misuse of alcohol than from any other single gift of God that people take and pervert. There are 9 million alcoholics in the United States alone today. 1 out of 10 people who take alcohol as a drink will turn out to be alcoholic. It could very well be that 4% of the population of the whole earth is suffering from alcoholism. A disease that affects so many people is obviously a big problem. The misuse of alcohol is often the symptom of other problems. People turn to alcohol when life is turned upside down, or when they have turned it upside down. A man loses his balance before he begins to misuse alcohol, not just afterwards. There are countless cases, like the older woman who lost her husband and decided that she should take to drink to ease the pain of her loss and depression. She thought it would help during the time she tried to adjust to a new life of living alone. Instead of giving her the necessary power to set her life straight, alcohol gradually destroyed her sense of reality to the point where she was seeing little animals on her hospital walls. Then she and her family were trying to deal with the guilt and the shame of it all. There's nothing shameful about grief. It becomes a thing of guilt only when you try to solve it this way, with alcohol, which turns the pain into a penalty. A good deal of the alcoholism in our world comes from the idolatry of pleasure. People worship pleasure. If it feels good, do it. That's become almost a creed in modern life. If the goal of life is happiness, you can do anything in order to achieve it. A funny thing, and it is not so funny, is that alcohol never helps people to find happiness. Pleasure seekers get an education, get a wife, have children, and grasp at life to be happy. Suddenly they discover pleasure at the bottom of a glass. Basically, empty people look for something to fill them up so they can be happy. They eat and drink in an attempt to be merry. Selfish, insecure, and greedy people imagine they can never be happy no matter how rich they get, how successful they come, or how much love is lavished upon them, unless they are able to satisfy themselves. It's like the dog chasing his tail. The game goes nowhere. If he ever gets a good bite on it, it turns to pain. That's the road, not just of the alcoholic, but of all people, madly in pursuit of pleasure. One solution to the problem of alcohol has been tried. It is to ban all alcohol. It's like banning the motor car, or sex, or wealth, just because these gifts of God can be misused. It's not necessary to misuse the gifts of God. Some people look on life in a totally different way. They're people of conviction, with direction in their lives. They're full of an inner dignity, like a spring of living water. They do not follow the road of evil men hanging around the cesspools scoffing at the things of God. They delight in doing things God wants them to do, and they are intent on following him. They're like trees along the riverbank which bear luscious fruit each season without fail. Their leaves do not wither, and all they do prospers. The people I'm talking about see the goal of life as something else besides serving oneself, worshiping the God of pleasure. The strange thing is that they enjoy life a lot more than people who are always intent on satisfying themselves. Happiness seems to just drop in upon them, almost unawares. I've known people like that who could take a drink and enjoy it, simply as an expression of joy in life. What makes the difference between the lifestyles of people who misuse the gifts of God and those who take his gifts and use them as they were intended to be used? The difference, when you look at it, is joy. Joy is more than just having a good laugh. It doesn't need a dirty story to arouse a titter. In fact, it doesn't titter at all. It laughs robustly with a hearty enjoyment of life. People like that have tensions and problems, too. They live their lives out in a tense and chaotic world. Still, they have joy. They understand what the Lord was talking about when he said, "He who would save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will gain it." We learn this from the Lord himself. Jesus Christ was not a killjoy. He was not a teetotaler. The fact is, he was not particularly pious, as some people count piety. His contemporaries called him gluttonous and a wine-bibber, not because he was that, but because they wanted to find something in him they could criticize. He was not an ascetic, a lonely hermit avoiding people. He was quite a normal and wonderful man, altogether a man, a real man. If someone had a problem with alcohol, Jesus Christ would have told him, "Don't touch a drop." When this was not a problem, he echoed the words of the psalmist, "The Lord God, my Father, has caused grass to grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart." At the same time, the Lord was the enemy of the sin that wrecks the lives of people. He was against anything that breaks up the home, that turns life into a horror, and makes people like beasts of the field. He was against the painkiller in the bottle, as much as he was against the pain and the anxiety that the bottle is supposed to kill. His answer to everything was, "Have faith in me and in my Father." To his own men, he said, "Oh, you of little faith." He said that to them when they were afraid. He says it to people today who are afraid, who try to conquer their fears with a bottle. He says it to people who are overcome by anxiety and the premonition of death. "To my Father," he said, "you are worth more than many sparrows." The sparrow, he said, gets all the attention of my Father in heaven, and he knows every hair on your head. Faith keeps people from tearing up the fabric of life. Jesus Christ faced the real enemy. The bottle itself is an enemy, just as the sea is an enemy. I was traveling with a man in his boat one day when he climbed underneath the cowling to take a look at the two diesel engines that were powering that boat. When I looked into that engine compartment, everything was as clean in there as our kitchen is at home. I asked him why he did that. He said, the sea is an enemy and must be treated as an enemy. The man did not mean that there's anything bad about the sea. But when you travel on the sea, you'd better remember that it can engulf you. That's the way it is with the gifts of God. Misused, they can engulf you. The bottle is an enemy, and it must be treated that way. People with other enemies have to be especially careful about that, because that enemy can make people forget who their other enemies really are, the ones that bother them and cause them to turn to the bottle in the first place. One enemy is yourself. You are a gift of God to this world, but you can take everything, including yourself, and turn it all around. The most difficult problem some people have to face is their own pride, which tells them that they can lick anything as long as they try hard enough. They can lick that gnawing anxiety, that haunting sense of guilt. All they need is a drink or two to get rid of that inhibition. They can lick the problem of alcoholism because they're not really alcoholics. They can lick it at any time if only they try hard enough. While they're wallowing in their pride, the bottle becomes the center of their life, and like all other false gods, it brings despair, fear, guilt, shame, and finally, death. St. Paul said this is what happens to people who worship the creature rather than the Creator. The gifts of God can be misused. They can also be used in the one way in which the gifts of God are used beneficially, to the glory of God and for the benefit of others. It is for people that God caused the grass to grow for the cattle, the plants for man to cultivate that they might bring forth fruit from the earth, wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. The great thing about God is that he is outgoing. He's not always thinking about himself the way people do, how he can keep others from putting things over on him. That's the way he's pictured by a lot of people. They imagine God is always out to get them. They have to be on their guard that he doesn't catch them in an unwary moment. The fact is that God is a jealous God, taking good care of his glory. No one's going to put anything over on him. He doesn't have to worry about himself. He can take care of people who think they are putting things over on him. But out of his glory comes his grace. The God who passes judgment is the one who loves. He's the Father who cares. In his grace, out of the goodness of his heart, he has reached out in his Son, Jesus Christ, and he's reaching out all the time with his Holy Spirit. He loves to give good gifts. He loves it when his gifts are received with confidence in him, trust in him, love toward him, with faith in him. That's what God wants you to see in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ came. He came to show us his Father. He showed us all right. He died on a cross that we might see the love of the Father with all of his grace. The Father sent his Son to die for us sinners, that he might, for the sake of his Son, forgive us our sins, and in his Son give us life that only he can give. That life is so different, so wonderful, that Christ's men always called it the new life. It's life in Christ, able to take the good gifts of God and to use them as they were meant to be used. People who really know God in Jesus Christ don't think of themselves as gods. Some of them may act as if they do, but then they don't really know God. God's people, having faith in Jesus Christ, take the real world in which they have to live as something good from the hand of God. They know it can be misused. They know it has been misused. They've misused it themselves. But they know God, his forgiveness, his grace, his life. They come back to God as he is known to them in Christ, to themselves as they are when they live by faith in God, and to the hearty acceptance of things as gifts from God, rather than as something they have coming to them because of their own virtue, righteousness, piety, or ability. The secret of it all is faith. If you've got one problem with one of the gifts of God, no matter what it is, that problem will not be really solved until you come to believe, not just to think, but to believe that he is God. He is the power he has, not you. If you think you're the one who has the power, you're on your way down or out. Alcoholics can tell you all about that. So can workaholics or sexaholics or aholics of any other kind. I have seen people, however, who overcame. They have overcome the biggest problems. In every case, it happened when they acquired hope in God. It wasn't easy, and sometimes it was slow. But hope in God makes not ashamed. Hope in God, real hope, is not just a vague dream. It comes from knowing God in a real person, Jesus Christ. I can't tell you strongly enough how real Christ is. Out of sheer love, he gave himself for the world. He really died. And there's real forgiveness in him. There's nothing he can't forgive. He died for all, that people like you and me might live by faith in him. He died for all, that people like us should not henceforth live to themselves for their own self-satisfaction, but to him who for their sakes died and rose again. That's new life. It's like dying and coming to life again. St. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. St. Paul said, whatever you do, whether you're eating or drinking, do it all to the glory of God. With new life in Christ, there's joy in Christ, present now, and perpetually good. Take the good gifts of God and enjoy them. Use them as he wants them to be used. It was his idea to make the grass grow for the cattle and plants to be cultivated. It was his idea to bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make him look good and feel good, bread not only to keep him alive, but to strengthen his heart. It was God's idea that you should have joy. Where joy is to be found, in him, with faith in his Son as your Savior and living his life, the life in Christ. In Christ, my friend, his man, his woman, his boy or girl, eat, drink, and be merry. Amen.
Listening to a recorded copy of a Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker.